The siren will sound and 33,963 will get on their feet as Fremantle start 2015 with a win at home. It was ugly but effective. Fremantle by 7 points.
Ugly but effective.
No, it was ugly. It was certainly tough. There's no doubt about that.
Great game.
The coach joins us on the line. Ross, thanks for your time.
I think that bloke's a West Coast supporter.
That wasn't ugly, was it, Ross?
59 entries. I don't care how we get it there. We can dribble them in. Well, I can. I'll take 59 entries.
Ross, have you been part of a more brutal round one game?
Oh, gee, good question. They blur, really. I'm trying to think. No, it was pretty tough.
You said
you
said after the game, there was bodies lying everywhere. How were the boys in the rooms when they got in?
Yeah, exhausted, but victorious is probably I think it's the Lombardi. It's their finest moments post-game, why they're exhausted and victorious together. So they're pretty special moments. But, look, we were winning the ball really well all night, clearances and ground ball. But poor to their credit, they were right. They're tackling us every time we won it. They laid 73 tackles. We only laid 41. So we were winning the ball really well, and I thought if we persisted, in the end, some time and space would open up. And in the end, it did. We had 20 entries in the last quarter to 9, and we kicked 4-4 to their 3 straight. So we ground our way to get on top.
Ask you about that discrepancy in the numbers, Ross. I guess you've explained it pretty well there. I mean, often people just look at the raw stats of tackles. I know there's the pressure acts as well, but there's times when you can be behind in the tackle count, but because, exactly like you said, you're actually winning the footy.
Yeah, you don't want to be having too many tackles. You want to win the ball. And I thought we did that really well. And they've nutted us at clearances a couple of times, so we put some extra work into that. And our clearances around the ground and centre bounces and those sort of things were really strong and gave us first use. But they're unrelenting in their pressure. I think they've added another string to their bow. But to our players' credit, we've had a great summer and we ran it out really strongly.
Two questions. David Mundy's final quarter. David Mundy's game.
Oh, that's what I want to
ask. David Mundy's final quarter. I mean, I know you. Every coach has favourites. I mean, how high is he on that pecking order?
Oh, when he's in the 13 positions of the quarter, we're going okay. So I've become a better coach. But look, we're using him a little bit smarter. He's a real repeat speed man, and at times we've left him hanging him in the midfield too long. So we played him at halfback for a while last night. We put him through the wing, where there's less, you know, crash and bash and inside. The inside work is really quite draining on your run. So we used him a little bit smarter. So, and he was low percentage game time going into the last quarter. So he really was able to pop, and he was super in driving us home.
That's a real change in football now with those bang crash players. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard Alistair Clarkson, Rossi talk about it the other day, and I don't think Mitchell's as bang and crash as what Mundy is. But he said, we can't afford to leave him in there because a guy like Mundy, he's like Selwood, and say like a Watson. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 efforts. If the ball's in his vicinity, he'll just keep going and going and going till the ball's either won or kicked away.
Mm. And look, because most teams' forwards roll up, they're getting hit from all angles every time they get the ball. It's, you know, pretty hard to get out of clearances now, you know, because the pressure around it is so strong. So they're getting hit more than they ever. Inside mids are getting hit more than they ever have. So you need to sort of move them around. Otherwise, they over 22 rounds, they just end up exhausted. So we've learnt that lesson. Probably took me a little bit too long, but we've learned it, and we're sharing the load a little bit more.
Hey, can he be a half forward? Can he be a goal kicker Monday?
Oh, he comes out of the square. He's great out of the square.
He's
there's
6'2",
no doubt about
6'3",
that.
Isn't he, Ross?
Yeah. I think he's 193.
Yeah.
I think 192, 193. So we've used him out of the goal square a little bit, and he certainly can come out and mark it really well. So that's part. With only three on the bench, you're being forced to have more creativity and move him around. We put Stephen Hill to halfback. He got going a little bit in the last. So we are certainly. Matthew Pavlich in the centre of the ground was brilliant at times, centre bouncer. So we are more flexible than we were last year.
I was going to ask you about that young fella, Pavlich. He looked okay.
Yeah, sort of the youth elixir. But again, we're using him a bit smarter. He's not covering as much territory. He's playing a bit deeper. And so he was fresh when it counted.
Interested in your forward line setup, Ross, with you know, obviously playing Zach Clark down there a lot, and young Tabernard didn't quite get a game. Can you talk us why Tabernard didn't get through?
Yeah, look, we're really disappointed. He ran it. He was definitely playing all summer, and he played a great NAB one. He got a kick in the Achilles, and it bled.
That was against Melbourne. Really,
It really congealed. And it might have been even pre-Melbourne, and we thought we'd settled it, and then it really flared up, and we thought, we can push six kids through, and we'll probably lose him throughout the year. Or we backed him off for 3 weeks, gave him some treatment to get him pain-free, and he didn't really become pain-free until, I don't know, a week and a half out. So he missed all the ensuing practice games. So he played appeal. I saw him this morning at the club. He was one of the best on the ground. He's 196. He's really important to us, and we're desperate for him to play, because even last night I thought the amount of entry, we just lacked a little bit. Chris Bain at 188 plays tall, but that 196 guy, that would give us three legitimates with Main as the fourth tall, you know, that swing player. So that's you're spot on. We weren't exactly how we wanted to be, but we're pretty confident we can get to that pretty quickly.
Well, I was going to say, 58 entries, only get the 11 goals. You'd be hoping for more, and that's, I guess he's the guy, especially going into the future, I should say, you know, Pavlovich year, maybe 2 years left. You need to get some good game time into him.
Yeah, no doubt. We played him in last year's finals. Mm. He didn't have a great final series, but look, he came off a rookie list. He's up from around up around Wangaratta, so he's only 19. He, for a young forward, he's pretty impressive. We've got young Atness in the twos. I mean, he's 200 centimetres. He'll take a bit of time, but we're really keen. It was really funny. We'd been against West Coast. We were really efficient, took lots of marks and scored quite easily, but Port, an elite defensive team as well. So they make it, they roll back really well and they drop off really well, and you've got to make great decisions. And our skill level at times, we only took one mark in the first half inside forward 50. So just some composure, and we lost our structure a little bit. So, we've got plenty of improvement in us.
Last year, Rossi, Port Adelaide, everyone spoke about it, their last quarter specialist. But the fact was that they scored a lot in the last quarters and ran over opposition teams. I interviewed you made it known that you've done extra running training sessions, the extra Saturday running sessions. I've heard you speak about it with other media and other media networks about that we're fitter, we're running harder. Last night, last quarter, do you draw on that, or are you a coach who goes, right, these are the figures, this is what I want you to do? Or did you actually, it's like the art of coaching, the propaganda of getting into the minds of players to believe that they did. Is that what you did?
No, I do that pre in the lead-in and reinforce it as we go. So we just knew when we needed to reach for the work, it had been done. So I didn't talk about it three-quarter time. There was a couple of things I did talk about, but...
What were they? Come on, mate. I mean, it was a great game of footy. Yeah, it was like final.
If we get back to your question, it was really... We knew we had room to move in our program, because I was part of Sydney where we train Monday to Friday pre-season and Saturday, Sunday off, just because, you know, to give them some normality and keep everyone fresh. But we train on and off legs. So if you do that, you can only get 3 days on legs. So that's the way I'd done it at Saints and Fremantle. But we knew we needed a change. So we gave Thursdays off and we trained Saturday mornings and ran. So we got an extra day on legs. So simple maths tells you can do a lot more. I think we did about 40% more volume.
I heard that number over the last 24 hours, 40%.
Players would have been hating you, Ross.
yeah, but they loved me last night.
So can you
really
feel
strong.
It?
Not one of our players cramped.
Didn't they really? Oh, geez, it was a lot cramping over the week. Did you sense it with the players after last night? Were you... Do you revisit that? Because just by memory, in red time, I don't know if you use red time, but in red time, you guys were stronger?
What, last night?
Last night, yes, yeah.
Yeah,
night.
I don't look at it. It's an indicator of the good teams that you finish quarters off, and, you know, over the journey you want to be good at. No, I didn't look at it last night. It's not something I focus on. It's an outcome, but it's an outcome of just, you know, persisting and persevering. You know, it was a really up-tempo game too, it was crazy.
Up-tempo? It was
as good as I've seen in a round one.
Yeah, okay. When you're in it, it's hard to sort of... I knew it was intense. Like, there was times I thought we're out, and then four blokes would tackle our bloke. I would balloon the ball off somewhere, and I thought we'd play with a different ball. But, look, it's credit to both teams. Like, Kenny and his group are a strong group, and we like to think, you know, that we really compete. And I just know that our desire is pretty strong. We won't always be perfect, but it's really good that footy can do the talking, you know. There was some amazing games on the weekend, and there'll be another one today. I mean, you've got two great teams, Hawthorn and Geelong, so it's great that we could be put on a good show, because that's really important.
Two players, Zach Mefford's tackle, magnificent. He can do anything he likes, but if you're going to tackle like that in the forward line and give goals, that was brilliant. The other guy who's grown so much with football, it wouldn't surprise me if he's all Australian. And I know that it's only at round one, but Michael Johnson.
got the early crow.
No, it's not an early crow. I don't think he was all Australian last year. He should have been in contention, but in a game like last night, he's just a wonderful footballer. He's like a Josh Gibson type. He can just do everything.
This is Michael Johnson?
Yeah.
He's a very talented player, and since I've been there, I mean, he ran into some injuries. He's been leading our best and fairest at like around 16. So he's a very talented player. And look, last night, I saw him this morning by chance as well. He slaughtered it a little bit last night, which is unlike him. So, and he had a serious back operation at the end of last year. He's sort of trimmed. So he's been enormous to come and play every minute and have a full summer. So like, you're spot on. And he played tall last night, so he played on Ryder and Butcher and those guys. But he can play on, you know, high forwards as well. So he's a good player.
A lot's been made, Ross, or a bit has been made about the top end of your list in terms of age. But to me, the third and fourth, probably the fourth year, are they in the Lockie Neal, Sheridan, Sutcliffe? It's probably what you didn't have at St Kilda, was that age group coming through and being really strong.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, Neil and Sutcliffe were permanent parts last year, and all those kids played in my first year in 2012. And so they've been really important. Lots made of, and I understand why, because they've been great players, Stanley and Pavlich, but they missed the majority of 2013. And, you know, we were driving to a top four. We just think there's 25 and unders, and there's the quality of them. We're talking Fife and Hill and Walters. We've got some elite 25 and unders, and then you've got Sutcliffe and Sheridan and Neil and those guys coming through. And we're really thrilled, and Tabernar, and we're really thrilled with Connor Blakely and Lockie Weller this year, and Ed Langdon. We think, but we're not perfect, but the list's been constructed by GWS and Gold Coast have had first access to everything. And so we've got strong planning. We know we've got some work to do, but we think we're in reasonable shape.
Rossi, last one for me. Just wanted to know Ryan Crowley, how he's, I guess, going with life at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good question. And he didn't attend last night's game just to protect him a little bit from a lot of questions. And it's a really difficult situation. And because of circumstance, it's not that it's none of my business, but if the player doesn't proffer it, and there's no value in me saying what happened, because it's got to go through a legal process. And any way you cut it, it's a terrible situation for him, the club, and AFL football. So, you know, all the education in the world, you know, we all suffer from the condition that we're human and we're not perfect and we make some bad decisions. So he's coming in, he's in every meeting and he's training and he's helping mentor Clancy Pearce. And I really admire what he's done in the past, but he's got himself in a position where he could see that his career is over. So we're supporting him, and his partner Samara is supporting him, but it's a really tough, tough situation.
Ryan aside, Ross, you were at the season launch. No, I wasn't mentioned at the season launch, sorry, but you were there.
Yeah.
Gillon McLachlan's hinted strongly about changes have to be made to the drug policy that the players exist in. I mean, performance-enhancing drugs, that are the three worst words. There's a lot of situations where people are questioning whether, you know, a tablet is performance-enhancing, or Ahmed Saad drinking a sports drink Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but Saturday it's in the system. Have you got sort of wider wider arguments on whether the WADA code is right for team sports or anything like that, or do you just go along and think, right, these are the rules?
I think there's the illicit drug policy, which is a voluntary commitment by the AFLPA, which is a good one, and it's based on welfare and trying to either rehabilitate or educate people to not go there, really. So it's a voluntary policy, but there's obviously been some loopholes where there's been some exploitation that everyone involved in the game would like tightened up. On the other side of it, the performance enhancing, I know there's some grey areas, but it's really quite simple if you take it to the education that players get delivered by the AFL in their own club, which is don't take anything that's not administered by your club doctor. So, you know, and I went through with the players, and obviously Ryan, you know, comes into it. Ignorance is no excuse, and there's strict liability. And I just think the strict liability, if you put something in, you're liable, I think that's brings it to a really sharp point. Unless it's administered by your club doctor and approved, don't take it. So then all the grey area doesn't come into play, does it? That's what I would think.
Ross, as always, fantastic to chat to you and for you to give us so much on your thoughts on the game. And twice you said good question to Moon, so
he's right.
He's very,
I've
very happy.
I've got the head wobbles over here now, Ross.
Let me at a pub one day, so.
Can I ask you one? Who would you give your 3-2-1 to last night, Ross?
I haven't even looked at it. Oh, I thought Matthew Pavlich was our best.
Just those steadying goals.
And what about some role play roles that you assigned some of your players?
Look, our very best players played well, didn't they? I thought Fife was very good.
Yeah.
You know, and our defenders slaughtered the ball a bit, but they defended really well, didn't they? McFarlane Schultz is a very good player.
Yeah, that was a good contest, eh?
Yeah, it was a great contest. So, I thought Daniel Pearce was very good for us. You know,
he's pretty good for you since you've got him, hasn't he?
Yeah, 28-2 goals. He's really quick.
We were trying to wind this interview up, Robbo.
I could go again.
Ross, last one. Do you think the rest of the football world underrates Daniel Pearce?
I haven't thought about it. Yeah, look, he probably could have had a real effect in the 2000 grand final. He probably slaughtered a few opportunities, but. Oh, no, he used to get tagged a lot at Port.
Yeah, we used to tag him
at the Saints. And, you know, but he's a great compliment. We're not the quickest team, so he compliments Hill. We need some wheels on the outside, and he certainly gives us that. No, I'm not sure. I couldn't answer that, but we rate him.
Ross, I'll let you go before the other boys ask any more questions.
Cheers.
Bye. Thanks for your time.
Ross Lyon, coach of Fremantle. If you're Victorian and love the Dockers, you're able to become a member of the club. Head to membership.fremantlefc.com.au. So that's membership.fremantlefc.com.au. There is a package just for you, plus all the information you need to be part of the Purple Army.